9:06 on Saturday morning. Welcome to the Saturday Sports Connection on 980 AM, 99.5 FM, WITY, WITYRadio.com, and the WITY Radio app presented by ServPro of Vermilion County's T. McGuire. I'm Chad Baker, across the way. Methinks me spots a bubby. The law is here. The coach, John Spezia, with Derbyshire Constabulary?
Yes, Constabulary.
The Constable, or the official name.
The Constable. You're a Constable when you're, this is my, it's a Bobby hat. So it's a people Bobby can hat. Visualize.
I think Bobby's the slang term.
Right, well, it, you're right. And they don't, yeah, exactly. It was given to us when we were in England. And now, so the people can tune in from now on. We are going to start doing, what shirt is Chad wearing today, and what shirt is Coach wearing, and what hats are we wearing?
So those I'm wearing my throwback White Sox hat that I normally wear, and the throwback to the
that looks like Kung Fu
the
Charlie.
'80s.
No,
80s
what's
Sox.
The famous?
And then
Kung Fu.
Bruce Lee is the famous Kung Fu.
I just saw a thing about Bruce Lee. He came in. It was Frank Sinatra that had him all in, and Frank Sinatra had this great big bodyguard that, you know, he thought he could take everybody out. He thought that Bruce Lee was a phony. Mm-hmm. He mostly got up on the stage and pretty much took care of him. And
that scene was kind of spoofed in the movie Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, the Quentin Tarantino
All right, I got one for you. Here's a trivia one. Who trained with Bruce Lee, a famous...
That was Chuck Norris. Chuck Norris appeared in Enter the Dragon.
Right, but what famous basketball player appeared with Bruce Lee and trained with him?
Would that be Wilt?
Nope.
No, that'd be Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Lou Alcindor.
Yeah, remember, Kareem was on a couple of movies when... Remember, he was on the one where he was in an airplane, he was a pilot?
Airplane, yeah.
Yeah. Believe it or not, seven foot two, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, or in my day and age, it was Lou Alcindor.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one of his big ardent fans was a guy named Wilt Chamberlain, and one of the few guys ever blocked Kareem Abdul's patented skyhook.
Will scored a lot of points on and off the court.
Yes.
Yes.
And he's in two Hall of Fames, the basketball one and the volleyball one. He's a great volleyball player.
I remember hearing about that, yes.
Wilt Chamberlain, they can talk about the GOAT, but probably if we go look at the guy, changed more rules in basketball than any one player in the history of the game. They widened the lane. They took to where the ball comes on the rim and you could take it off. And the free throw situation, Wilt used to run, and he could leave from behind the free throw line and shoot free throws.
The discussion always pops up about the intergenerational comparisons. What would Jordan be like in today's game? What would Kareem be like?
Hit average 50 points.
What,
a game.
I mean, I don't know that conversation comes up enough about Wilt about how he would have been in, let's say, in that '80s game, because, you know, obviously he was a great shooter. He was physical. He was, of course, just an absolute...
He was a great athlete.
A monster of a guy, you know? He was, what, 7'1", 7'2"?
About 7'1". So, but he was a better athlete. He was, he ran, at that time, the quarter mile, and, I don't know, 47
great
seconds.
Athleticism, but of course, at the time, whenever you didn't have guys that were necessarily gym rats like they are nowadays, where, you know, you've got...
Well, here's the argument. They always say who he played against. He played against the Plumbers. I would say Nate Thurman and the big center that played for Baltimore. Wesley Unseld, I mean, you talk about Walt Bellamy, one of the most dominant big men.
Unseld nowadays would almost, I think, be considered fat, you know, because, I mean, he was a big guy, but, I mean, I don't remember him being absolutely, like, muscular or anything. It seemed
Unseld,
like,
Unseld, they said, could take a rebound and turn in midair and throw it off the backboard the other end. That's
and we're not that far removed from an NBA where, you know, in the 90s where you had guys like Stanley Roberts and some of those centers that came up that didn't have long careers, but, you know, they were big guys
Remember Chris Washburn? You go
Chris
back
Washburn.
To Shaquille O'Neal. And probably one of the greatest ones was Olajuwon had the greatest footwork of anybody in the NBA.
Yeah, Shaq started out muscular, but he got kind of
heavy. Yeah,
kind of heavy in the later years there.
Chamberlain was a much better, and I'll tell you another guy who's a great athlete too. Like Chamberlain was a track star, was Bill Russell.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but Russ also had some players around him too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Shaq got too close to those Chuck-a-roni pizzas, so.
And another guy, not a lot of people talk, Artis Gilmore was another one. If you remember the Jacksonville team with him,
that
got almost beat UCLA at the time.
If I remember correctly, Gilmore spent about part of his, at least part of his
played
career.
Played in the NBA, played with Kentucky Colonels, played for Hubie Brown, and Dan Issel was back at that time, a Batavia, Illinois guy. Was I think he's in the IBCA Hall of Fame, but
yeah
there's so we'll do this from now on, just a little fun for those people out there. So if you get those calls, and
well, I'd like to think we always have fun, but
well, we do.
More times than not, we are, of course, get to the formalities of the show.
Well, I mean, anybody wears a White Sox hat in there, what do you think?
Listen to this guy; he's throwing me under the bus already. The season hasn't even started.
Well, what great player played with the White Sox at second base? Nelly Fox.
Nelly Fox.
There you go.
It floors me.
Louis
Aparicio,
shortstop.
A show a couple years ago. I was on MLB. Harold Reynolds didn't know who Nelly Fox was. That floors me. I always had anticipated somebody with the career, not only in baseball but then in baseball broadcasting, that Harold Reynolds had, that he would know who Nelly Fox was. Played his position,
right?
And from Gettysburg, Pennsylvania,
and
that
shortstop
area.
Was Louis Aparicio.
Louis Aparicio, yeah.
There you go.
One of the great shortstop, second base tandems of all time.
Yep, I would guess.
I think, if I'm not mistaken, they may have played the most games together as a shortstop, second base
could
tandem. Because they were pretty dedicated to the White Sox.
There was a guy that also played, I believe, with the White Sox. Well, of course, we know about Bo Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a guy, this one will really shock you. There was a guy named Jimmy Pearsall.
Yeah. Later became the broadcaster.
Yeah.
Him and Harry Carey.
Yeah. He had some depression issues, but mm-hmm. He lived in Arizona with a friend of mine, or in a complex with a friend of mine, Brad Davis, who used to referee in this area. So I used to talk to Jimmy Pearsall. How about that one?
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome.
That's, when you're down in Arizona with the spring training, there's a lot of those guys you run into.
Yeah.
So, well, let's get on with it.
We're delaying the inevitable here. The bad news were we just had just the absolute run through the jungle week with high school basketball. But let's get to our sponsors here first before we have Coach dive in.
Yeah, because Fifi's calling and Fifi. She says, hey, Chad, let's go. Come on, Chad.
And that would be just like a cat, right, to come in and just, redirect your attention. Of course, our presenting sponsor, ServPro of Vermilion County, ServPro, Team McGuire in Vermilion County, here wants to make it like it never even happened. Our good friends at UHAS Diagnostic Center, exit 210 east of I-74, just off the Henning 4-way, the frontage road backtrack for your newest NAPA heavy-duty truck care center. The good friends over at El Toro of Danville, 619 South Gilbert Street, for the best Mexican dining, visit El Toro of Danville. Country financial agent Dustin Ehler in Fairmount. Find him at 102 North Main Street for his newest digs. East Central Illinois Wrestling Digest episodes on the website. And, of course, with wrestling wrapping up this weekend, I'm sure he's kind of a bittersweet moment for him as the season's winding down here. The good folks at Latos Hardware in Westville, fire all those hard-to-find items. Visit Latos Hardware. Make sure you say hi to Fifi. And OSF Healthcare from primary and urgent care all the way to cancer and specialized care in Danville in the Vermilion County area. Visit osfhealthcare.org. Coach, boys high school basketball. Let's
last week, boys high school basketball, Springfield Calvary over the Danville Vikings, 81-54. The Covington Trojans over South Vermilion. Big win for Covington, 57-30. Southmont over Fountain Central Mustangs. South Putnam over North Vermilion. North Newton in an overtime win over the Attica Red Ramblers. And North Putnam at Riverton Park postponed. Fountain Central over Western Boone. Park Heritage over Indianapolis Richard. Park Heritage, one of the better teams over in that area. South Main at Sublin postponed. and IHSA regionals in Lexington, Cisna Park, Christ Lutheran over Cornerstone Christian, Lexington over Cisna Park, Christ Lutheran, in Hoopston, Leroy over Iroquois West, Finnegan over Hoopston area, Clifton Central, excuse me, and a big win over the Milford Bearcats, Hayworth over Watseka, 70-36, Leroy over Flanagan Cornell, and then Hayworth over Clifton Central, which matchup we'll talk later, Leroy and Hayworth. At Salt Fork, the surprising Schlarman Hilltoppers, after a 30-point loss earlier in the week, not the week, week before, 43, Salt Fork Storm, 41. La Salette, 45, Georgetown Ridge Farm, 31. Schlarman, in a big, big, big upset and surprise over the second-seeded Cerro Gordo Bement team, 41-40. St. Thomas More over La Salette, who had lost their two best players in Sick and I'm trying to think of the little guard's name. Cruz.
Cruz, yeah. Yep. Marco Cruz.
We get to St. Teresa, Oakwood over St. Teresa, 70-68. Here's a surprise, 59-58, Urbana Uni High, Armstrong. Armstrong had a young player got hurt, didn't play during that game, 59-58. Unity Christian over Oakwood, 68-44. Unity Christian's the real deal. Mount Pulaski over Uni High, 53-41. Casey Westfield, 105 over the Crispin Cardinals, 49. Heritage over Arcola. Arcola had a tough year, the Rough Riders. So Casey Westfield over Heritage, 64-48. Tri-County, Tuscola. Tri-County over Cowden, Herrick, Beecher City, 74-55. Windsor, Stoops over Villa Grove. Tuscola over Tri-County by 71-56 score. And Windsor, Strauss over Meridian, 81-78. Class 2A at St. Joe, Pena over the Parrish Tigers. Tigers had a tough year, 66-49. Warrensburg Latham, the top seed there, 67 over Pena, 48. St. Joe Ogden over Clinton, 53-48. At Morris Forsyth, Unity, the Rockets, moving on, number one seed there over Monticello, the Sages. And then, of course, the game that everybody's been talking about, the 31-0 Westville Tigers, 50. Unfortunately, Moreau Forsyth, 54. At Mantino, PBL, 58 over BHRA, I believe, 44. And young Mr. Peoples got hurt in that game somewhere in the second quarter, I believe, and led to PBL in that win over the Blue Devils. At 3A, Bloomington, Danville had over Rantoul, 60-47. Then Normal Yuhai, who I saw play against BHRA, 65, Danville, 51. Girls back. Well, no, we'll get to girls back.
Last night's action there. We've got, of course, a game heard here on WITY, and it's archived there. St. Thomas More in the Salt Fork Championship over Schlarman, 49-43.
Unbelievable.
You were out there Wednesday night. We saw you floating around.
I was
the
there
crowd.
Monday and Wednesday.
So you had a front row seat to really kind of know what these teams brought and what it looked like on the floor. And as good as the game was, I think there were certain elements of the game where I was kind of let down, especially after the buildup and the intensity that both those teams brought Wednesday night. The stretch run last night was great, but there were a lot of times in that game where there was maybe some lulls going on for each team.
Well, again, I didn't get to see the championship game. I don't know which would have been worse. I went and saw Illinois, and that was a disaster for the most part with Michigan. But anyway, St. Thomas More plays in a really good league with PBL and St. Joe Ogden and all those people in Unity.
And they didn't win a conference game this year.
There you go.
So that tells you a little bit of backstory there about what we had and the run that both those teams had through that regional.
Well, I said this to Coach Patterson that he just the first game against Salt Fork, they had guys that got fouled at the end of the game, all missed free throws, and they still won. They had some guys take shots they shouldn't have taken shots.
Yeah.
And they still won, thanks to, I'll tell you, Miles. I thought he stepped up in the whole tournament. I thought he was the difference maker in the whole tournament. Now, people say, well, yeah, Noah had, yeah, you're right. Norv Fowler is a very good player. I thought Schlarman's defense was solid the whole time, and Miles was one of the reasons. He, I couldn't tell you how many defensive rebounds and shots he blocked, and he finished around the basket. You can't say enough about that young man. And I think young Jarius played in the game last night a little bit.
Yeah, got in about five and a half minute mark in the fourth period.
Yeah, for what Coach Patterson had coming off the bench, nothing against those kids. But to when you start have to substitute, and young Fowler didn't play because he was hurt. Mm-hmm. Now you're taking guys and they're playing time that they just hardly didn't play as much.
Yeah.
And the load was on, obviously, Fowler's shoulder and Miles. And the, I'll tell you, the young freshman hit a big shot against Bemet out of the corner late in the game, hit a three. So great credit to those kids. They could have easily said, hey, baseball's coming. Close down things.
Sure.
After getting beat by 30 by Salt Fork the week before, they did not. That to me, that's what college, or not college, but basketball is all about.
Yeah, and resilience is something that I don't know that you can necessarily teach it. It has to come from within. They were resilient. If anything, had Schlarman won, they would have been the lowest seed. Left in 1A.
I think they were the 10th seed.
They were the 10th seed. The St. Thomas More, the 6th seed. They're tied for the second lowest seed left in 1A. I believe there is a 9 seed out there still.
Well,
it,
again, goes but, here's the thing, and I know Coach Groy and I talked about this and many times. Go back in history real quick. His team, when he came to Danville the first year, had a losing record. Had Matt Halp, John Halp, and I'm sure I'm going to miss Gentry, I believe. But they got all the way to the Final eight at the Assembly Hall. I don't think that's hardly ever been done again in the history of IHSA basketball.
Uh-huh.
But when it comes to the tournament, you throw those records out the window. And I had that conversation with La Salette earlier in the week. You never. It's a big deal to play in the state tournament series because it's a one and done situation.
Yeah.
And you could be 31-0. And get beat in the first round like Westville, or you could be like Schlarman, who had a losing record going in, and they got all the way to the championship game. So that's what IHSA basketball or Indiana high school basketball is about. They throw out all the records, and there is no seeding in Indiana, and you never know. You could have two teams. I've seen it in Indiana. Two teams are probably close to being undefeated or undefeated, and they run up and play the first game. One of them gets knocked off, and that's the beauty of high school athletics.
Absolutely, absolutely. You had in other games last night, Leroy over Hayworth at the Hoopston Regional, 51-38. Tuscola pummels the Hatchets of Windsor Stew Straws, 62-34 at the Tuscola Regional in 2A. Unity does what Unity does. They knock off Moroa Forsyth, 53-49.
Pontiac over PBL, 63-39. Again, that was supposed to be a BHRA and Pontiac lineup. Warrensburg, Latham, and St. Joe just knocked out the St. Joe Ogden Spartans, 63-44. Everybody tells you Warrensburg, Latham is really, really, really good.
Yeah.
First Baptist in their IEACS state tournament over
Berean.
Berean?
Berean, yeah.
Yep. And then First Baptist over O'Fallon. I would cross over to Indiana and the Logan Sport Berries. When I was in Indiana, coached in that gym, and Jim Williams, who coached at Schlarman, was a coach at Logan Sport at the time, and they beat Benton Central. A funny thing about that was his son played for Logan Sport, and a guy who was an assistant, how about this one? This how tells my age, I guess. But a guy sitting there to watch the games, is there to recruit a kid from Logan Sport, was a guy named Gene Cady.
Oh.
He was the assistant at Arkansas at the time.
Wow.
And then later went to Western Kentucky. Crawfordsville, the Athenians over the Covington Trojans, 90-36. The Patriots over the Seagulls, 65 over North Marine Falcons, 64. Park Heritage on a roll. Park Heritage, 80. Terre Haute South, which is I believe in their rankings, the 4A school. That's a big win for Park Heritage. Clay City, the Eels over Riverton Park, 51-50. So I think we're ready
for one game today. We've got the IACS State Tournament, First Baptist Christian, the championship against Lake County. Then this week, IHSA sectionals, Unity versus Fairfield at Monticello. Unity being the last remaining Illinois local team.
I got a quick
and then they've got the championship later.
What Illinois player played at Fairfield?
What Illinois player played? Oh, you're asking me to dig too back.
And he also coached in Milford, Jed Foster.
I did not know that. Yep, I did not know that. IHSAA sectionals get under week this week. Fountain Central will host the 1A. You have Fountain Central, North Vermilion, Riverton Park, and Attica together. Covington will await the winner of Faith Christian, Lafayette Central Catholic. And then, of course, they will have the championship at the end of the week. You got the winners of those two semifinal games, too.
It's always interesting games over in Indiana because, you know, Indiana people will be upset with me this, but they get out of that sectional if Central Catholic doesn't come into the sectional.
Yeah.
Lafayette Central Catholic's always been very good in all sports there, and it'll be a tough one. If I'm guessing,
yeah,
I'd say that would probably be the eventual winner. Class 2A, Greencastle, Greencastle versus Park Heritage. Well, we know Park Heritage is really on a roll.
Mm-hmm.
South Vermilion versus Greencastle, Park Heritage winner. We know that where that's going. Seager versus Delphi. Excuse me, Delphi is the Oracles, I believe.
Yes.
The Patriots and North Montgomery. And then Benton Central versus the Seager North Montgomery winner. So we got some interesting end of the season coming up with basketball.
That we do. You got boys' records here, Coach. Just one team left. You've got Unity sitting up there, 29-2. Of course, First Baptist Christian will round out their schedule today. Either be 17-5 or 18-4, which is still another really good season for them.
Well, Unity with the Rockets, they're still rolling 29-2. Lost led done with their season 24-7. That's one of the better records they've had. BHRA 23-8. Armstrong 21-10. Big winner. That's 20-some wins for the Trojans. They got knocked out the first round. St. Jog 20-11. First Baptist 17-4. Salt Fork. Hey, Andrew does a great job at Salt Fork. Mm-hmm. You know, he's one of the veteran coaches in this area. His kids play hard. And every year, you know, they're going to be competitive. PBL 15-15, Hoopston area 15-15, Oakwood 15-17 after having a big start. Amazing record for the Starman Hilltoppers, 14-16. They get all the way to the regional championship for the second year in a row. System Park Christian Lutheran 14-17, Tri-County 14-19, Heritage 13-18. Paris is really, you know, you look at Paris. As they used to be a dominant force.
Yeah, and I think I feel it feels like they played better than what their record was this year. I don't know whether they snuck in some tough losses. And let's face it, they have not been the same team since they went to the Little Illini Conference. They were a different team in the Apollo.
Well, I think, again, goes back, and I think we forget this, again, in this area, all the way from Moments to Paris, the economic social issues
have
really taken its toll on all
because they now are in a conference with Lawrenceville, with KZ Westfield, with Mount Carmel. Marshall, you know, is a solid program. They had a little bit of a down year this year, but Cumberland typically has a pretty, well, I guess Cumberland's not in Little Illini anymore, but there again, that's where all the conference Rochambeau over the last 15 years gets me lost, but still those other four teams there, where you have Mount Carmel and Casey and Lawrenceville and Marshall, there you've got some pretty solid smaller programs that typically churn out some good athletes.
Well, you got the Danville Vikings 9-19, the young Viking team. They got really one of the better young players in this area in Amar Beasley, and they got a young man by the name of Burns who's also very good. So the future is bright for David Girard's team. Bill Grove 8-18, Rantoul 8-19, Crispin 7-19. I never thought I'd see the day when I'd say the Crispin Cardinals are 7-19, but
yeah.
The Watsika Warriors 7-23, Milford 6-24. And there's another, you know, Milford for a stretch there with Dave Caldwell and myself. They're the 21 winners, probably about 6 or 7, 8 years in a row.
Yeah.
But it's a young team. Young Foxes, who played for me, is doing a good job, and they start a lot of young kids. Georgetown Richmond, 5-23. Iroquois West. Boy, Iroquois West, that's another one. 1-30. I can remember when they were Gilman. They were really good.
Mm-hmm.
Park Heritage and Indiana, 19-4, one of the better teams in that area. The Patriots, 14-8. North Marine with the young Leonard kid. It's a really good player in that area. 11 and 10. Riverton Park, 10 and 9. Fountain Central, the Mustangs, 10 and 11. Benton Central, there's another one. The Bisons, 8 and 14. Covington, that's another one. 5 and 18. That has to be one of the worst records that Covington's had in a long time.
Yeah.
I know they're young. Attica, there's another one, 2 and 17. And South Marine, 1 and 18. I can remember when the Attica Red Ramblers were playing teams out of East Chicago first.
Absolutely. We are up against the break. We've got OSF and our good buddy Tim Dittman coming up with News You Can Use, Sports and Wellness Edition. When we come back, we'll dive into girls hoops. We've got track and field, boys and girls wrestling all coming up, along with DAX Sports, when the Saturday Sports Connection continues on 980 AM, 99.5 FM, WITY, WITYradio.com, and the WITY radio app presented by ServPro of Vermilion County.
When disaster takes control of your life, ServPro helps you take it back. ServPro Team McGuire shows up faster to any size disaster to make things right, starting with a single call. That's all, because the number one name in cleanup and restoration has the scale and the expertise to get you back up to speed quicker than you ever thought possible. So whenever never thought this would happen actually happens, ServPro's got you. Call 217-443-0077 or follow us on Facebook at ServPro of Vermilion County to help make it like it never even happened. Make every day a fiesta at El Toro, serving up all your favorite Mexican favorites. Try their daily lunch specials served 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Have an event coming up? Spice it up with El Toro Catering for your next office lunch, wedding reception, or family reunion. El Toro has a vast menu to satisfy every craving, from exciting combination dinners to seafood, sizzling fajitas, and vegetarian options. El Toro has something for everyone. Celebrate flavor at El Toro, 619 South Gilbert Street in Danville.
Farming is more than an occupation, it's a way of life. This is Dustin Ehler, your country financial agent in Fairmount. And when you want to protect your farm, it goes a lot deeper than protecting your crops, buildings, and machinery. You want an insurance company with decades of farm experience, like Country Financial. We may have insured your parents' farm, even your grandparents' farm. Contact me, Dustin Ehler, your country financial representative at 102 North Main in Fairmount. Call 217-733-2154.
Honey, I'm leaving to run those errands.
Hey, would you mind dropping by the pharmacy too? My doctor switched my cholesterol medication.
Oh, sure. I'm glad he's looking out for you.
Through all life stages, you can count on your OSF Healthcare primary care provider. They can handle everything from school physicals to annual wellness visits to managing chronic conditions and more. Schedule an appointment today at osfhealthcare.org/primary. OSF Healthcare, your life, our mission.
Welcome back, Saturday Sports Connection, presented by SurfPro of Vermilion County on 980 AM, 99.5 FM, WITY, WITYradio.com, the WITY radio app. We check in with Tim Dittman, OSF Healthcare, for News You Can Use, Sports and Wellness Edition.
Hi, it's Tim Dittman with OSF Healthcare, and this is Healthcare News You Can Use, Sports and Wellness Edition. Sniff, sniff. Is that a part of your workout routine? We're talking about smelling salts. How do they work, and are they for everyone? The little packets release ammonia that irritates the membranes of the nose and lungs, and that causes you to inhale and arouse back to consciousness. Athletes use this to try for an added burst of energy before they hit the field or go for that maximum weight lift. Some of the benefits might be overstated, but there's also no major health risks to try it. That's according to OSF sports medicine physician Dr. Karan Rai.
The most detrimental part or risky part of a smelling salt is if you are holding it too close to your nose or using it too often. As I stated, it can irritate the membranes and can cause some injury or damage to them if used too frequently. I definitely would not recommend inserting them into your nostrils.
You also see smelling salts used to revive someone after a head injury. That has actually fallen out of favor with doctors, Dr. Rai says.
One reason is when someone is being assessed for a head injury, another concerning area is whether they've had a spinal injury. And typically if you're inhaling that salt, that can cause almost like a whiplash effect on your cervical spine, which again can exacerbate an underlying injury.
Bottom line, talk to your primary care provider before you give smelling salts a try. That's Healthcare News That You Can Use, Sports and Wellness Edition. For a podcast of these programs, visit WYTYradio.com. For more on OSF Healthcare, visit OSFHealthcare.org. For OSF, I'm Tim Dittman.
Thanks, Tim. Check back in next week to see what else Tim has with OSF Healthcare, Sports and Wellness Edition of Healthcare News You Can Use. Let's turn our attention to girls' high school hoops. It helps if I turn the right microphone on, though.
Well, we got.
I didn't want you to have to scream in the background.
Saltford got beat early.
Yeah.
And yes. You got girls' state tournament, First Baptist versus East Moline for the third place game.
Yep. So this week, you had last week in IHSAA Class 2 semi-states, you had Park Heritage winning over Heritage Christian 46-37. They would then lose to Eastern Pekin 48-41, the semi-state championship. So nice run for Park Heritage girls this season. The 1A IHSA sectionals had Argentia Orienta, Mount Pulaski, and Tri-County season 65-36. Cumberland over Salt Fork 46-31. In fact, that's, I believe, the deepest the Cumberland Lady Pirates have went in basketball playoff action. And then at Iroquois West, it was Hayworth over Sista Park Christ Lutheran. Perhaps a little bit of an upset there. I really thought Sista Park was going to make another charge for Final Four.
So too.
And then falls short by 19. They're not
what
sure
about the
what
Paris Tigers? You got one on them?
Paris Tigers at the Olney sectional knocks off the host team 54-45. And then comes up 10 points short against a tough to topless Lady Wooden Shoes. Lori just does a great job with them down there, and she's still looking for that elusive first title for her. Obviously, Totopolis has won a slew of girls' titles at the state, but being Dennis Custer's pupil there, she's looking for that moment where she can raise her own. She's had, I believe, two or three trips to state, but has not come away with the big hardware.
Totopolis. Is he still alive?
Dennis Custer. No, he passed away. He passed away in an auto accident, and then that's when Lori took over. Lori had actually had an interim position while Dennis was having, I think he had some surgery a few years back, and then he tragically passed away.
The boys coach, Ken Crawford, I see Ken and talked to him probably several times throughout the year.
And they've had a little bit of a rotating door on the boys' side since Ken's left, so they've had a few coaches. I mean, the standard's still there. But I think there's some behind-the-scenes politics that have gotten away.
With Totopolis, maybe not so much with the girls' program, but with the boys, they don't have football.
Correct.
So they got, I think, fall baseball.
They have fall baseball, yes.
And so that whole league, Totopolis makes it.
Totopolis is an independent now, but they were previously part of the National Trail Conference. Still plays those National Trail Conference, and I believe it is. So it's National Trail, Egyptian Illini Conference, and Midland Trail Conference. All does fall baseball. They're all smaller schools. They're all about schools about the size of Milford, right. Sista Park. You know, so the smaller schools that won't be able to front.
And we used to, up in that area, they used to have fall baseball. Armstrong and Sheldon and Donovan.
Sure.
Those people at Wellington at that time. But I don't think there's any fall baseball.
Yeah, there's that little conference that like Urbana Uni High is part of, and the Land Weldon. I'm surprised that they don't offer fall baseball.
Yeah.
As an option.
They're tied in with soccer, possibly.
That's a potential.
Right.
Pontiac Regional, you had St. Joe Ogden in their season at the hands of Mantino, 44-23. The IACS Regionals, First Baptist Christian, earlier in the week, knocked off Calvary Urbana, 42-16, to go to the state tournament for the first time in a long time. They would lose yesterday to Rosamond, 39-37, so FBC and East Moline today in the third-place game at the IACS state tournament. I have no girls basketball after that. That is our last local team. So girls wrap up today.
So you got wrestling.
Well, we got track and field first. Track and field.
I'll let you do track and field. I'm going to take a break.
Sounds good. Yeah, take the load off. Last week, let's see. I don't think I had anything. Here we do. We had the Mount Zion indoor meet. They had at the indoor meet a pair of Paris pole vaulters. Jesse Engelbrecht placing 6th, Anthony Lorenzen placing 10th. At the Circuit Chicago Invites, Rand Toole had a slew of top 10 finishers. Among them, Aubriana Thompson had a pair of top podiums for 60-meter hurdle finals and the 200-meter. Matthew Hardwell won the 400-meter boys race and placed 9th in the 200-meter boys race. Mount Zion Indoor Meet, another meet this past week. Villa Grove was there for that one. They would have 5 top 10 finishers there. Yesterday at the ALAH mini meet over at the Armory at U of I, it was Unity winning both the boys and girls meets. On the boys' side, you had Armstrong Potomac placing 6th, Iroquois West placing 8th. On the girls' side, you had Iroquois West placing 7th, Heritage 9th, also Armstrong Potomac in there at 8th. Olivet Indoor Boys Invite yesterday, Lincoln Way West wins it, Danville placed 8th. Today, there is a Olivet Indoor Invite for girls featuring Danville and Hoopston area. This upcoming week, Armstrong Potomac, a busy week for them. They're going to be at the Urbana Uni High meet along with Hoopston area, Schlarman, and Unity. Then they head over to the Purdue meet where Watsika will also be there. EIU Indoor Invite for girls on Friday. BHRA, Oakwood, Paris, PBL, St. Joe, Ogden, Salt Fork, Unity, Schlarman, Villa Grove, and Westville, all part of that. The boys meet will be next Saturday. And then Heritage and Iroquois West are going to be at the Urbana Uni High mini meet this week.
Chad, I need to say this about the track and field with people. And I don't think a lot of people realize this, but track and field in this area is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was at the Salt Fork game the last week with, Brian Russell's now the AD. But I look up at their banners, and people don't realize how good Salt Fork track and field has been with state championships and people that are at a very high levels of competition at the Division I level.
Yeah.
The shot putters at Illinois State, who's a very good athlete, basketball player, football player. And you had, she was also a runner. I think she was a decathlete or one of those that was at Salt Fork. And then I think that young lady that also did some type of shot or discus or something at Eastern. I mean, you just go through the list of what we have in this area. And you go back and look now, we have at Westville probably one of the better all-weather tracks, mm-hmm. same way with Salt Fork. Bismarck has one now, and so does Danville. And I guess I'm going to be on a rant here a little bit. I said this to people at Danville Community College. Are we kidding? Why don't we have track and field? And Terry Hill did a great job of track and field. And we had more success in track and field and cross country than most of our sports at Danbury Community College. And that brings in 30, 40 athletes that have really been very competitive. And Coach Hill did a great job with both. It mystifies that we haven't done something because we have tracks and Danville has an indoor track that we used to run
and cross country in the fall, so you know there's some of those folks that could participate in both.
Well, do, and that's a big point. If you're going to do recruiting, is you bring in they want to run during the winter time, then the spring, and that's just another recruiting tool. And you look at some of the kids in this area, and if we go across the border, their track and field, North Vermillion's always been very good in track and field.
Yeah.
And they have the all-weather tracks also. I'll tell you, in La Salette, cross country-wise, I think they got 8th or 9th in the state here last year or two. So it mystifies me. We haven't done more in this area and recognize how good track and field here. And I can remember, I don't remember probably before the last 10 or 12 years that we were running indoors. And people don't realize, when you're running to Eastern Illinois and Illinois and Illinois State and those places, those are places where those guys have chances to get a scholarship. It may not be full, but I don't quite understand that sometimes what our thinking is.
Absolutely. And they're going to get their opportunities. The nice thing is that they'll have that for the high school athletes. They've got that early season meet at EIU, and that is ultimately where you're going to end up if you have a great season. That's where the state finals are held. But
I believe Brian Russell's daughter's, she might be a sophomore now, and she runs distances for EIU.
She may be a Sophomore, junior, yeah.
Right. And there's a hurdler. I know I'm going to miss some guy's name. His mom used to be a secretary at Schlarman, but and my nephew Gary used to train with him. There's a couple of them down there. A young man from Westville's a hurdler down at EIU running track and field. So those are all I don't think we make enough emphasis on those other sports, especially track and field, all the events. You know, with basketball, to recruit basketball is a tough situation. Because you don't know the competition, who they're playing against, and now it's become even tougher because now the upper-level schools are either going overseas like Illinois has, or they're taking guys like Humerkaus, who played Division NAI basketball and has moved up the ladder, where in track and field, either you're a 6'9 or 6'10 height. There's no middle ground here. Either you can do it or can't, or you're, you know, a 60-foot shot putter or you know, you run the 100 meters in 10 seconds or whatever may be the case. Those are, or you're a long jumper at 24 feet. There's no variance like it is with basketball.
Sure.
I think even probably in volleyball and some of the other sports or football. But either you do or you don't.
Yep. Absolutely. Let's switch gears here. We'll go to boys high school wrestling. Last week in the state finals wrapped up. In the 113-pound class, Stephen Uden of Oakwood Salt Fork would lose by fall in consolation round three. Weston Frazier, runner-up in state in the 120-pound class, his teammate that lost to Wesley Janik of Ottawa Marquette. Aiden Bell of Hoopston area Milford would place sixth, losing in the fifth-place match by a major decision. Or no, he would win by a major decision. He placed fifth over Isaiah Perez of Oregon. Mason Schwartz ended his year in the consolation round three, 132-pound class, lost by decision there. Devin Ehler won the third place at the 138-pound class and knocked out Kane Dauber of Princeton by decision. A.J. Daly of Unity would lose to Dauber in the consolation round three. Tyler Huckel in the 144-pound class for Oakwood Salt Fork gets to the consolation round three before his season ends. Abram Davidson of Unity, 165-pound class, finished sixth, losing to Tyler Jones of Wheaton Academy. Big E, Ethan Miller, Westfield Georgetown Ridge Farm would lose in consolation round three by major decision to Daniel Jackson of Redbud. And that ends boys wrestling. That I do have the team to state finals, but nobody from the area, no teams from the area in that. Girls wrestling, last week you had girls, Kate Walkner, Oakwood, Salt Fork in the 115-pound class. This was yesterday, by the way. This is state action. She would lose her first two matches, so her season is done. Uriah Shaw continues on. She's 2-1 after day one. She'll continue into consolation round three this morning. Ava Beldo of Unity, also in consolation round three, she lost her championship round match, but has won in the two rounds since. Taylor Owens of Oakwood Salt Fork in 155-pound class won both of her matches yesterday. She continues on to the winner's side of the championship side of the bracket. Same with Peyton Temple in 170-pound class for Clifton Central Iroquois West. Addie Briggs of Westville Georgetown Ridge Farm, Madison had the ends her day. Yesterday, she went 1-2, ending in the consolation round two, 190-pound class. Phoenix Molina of Unity continues today. She won her first two matches in the 235-pound class. So girls action today with Danville's Uriah Shaw, Unity's Ava Beldo, and Phoenix Molina, Oakwood Salt Fork's Taylor Owens, and Clifton Central Iroquois West's Peyton Temple all competing this morning for the possibility of working their way up on that podium, working their way to the top if they can. And that is where wrestling is at. DAC Sports.
I got him. Of course, DAC beat Lewis and Clark last week and pretty much solidifies they're going to be the number one seed in the region tournament coming up. I think it's the 6th and 7th of the region tournament. And they're on the road tonight. Both men and women's teams play at Spoon River this afternoon. Women's sports, of course, Danville at Lakeland last week, and Lakeland's one of the better teams. I had a chance to talk to Chad Jones, who's the coach at Lincolnland, who was one of our former assistants and players. That's going to be a tough one because it's ICC and Parkland and Lincolnland. I think Lincolnland might be the third seed, though they did beat ICC or beat Parkland in the game. So, and you got coming up that tournament comes up the 6th and 7th out at Davenport Community College. You got the region back. They rotate the region now from it used to be a bid process. Now it's one where they rotate it from people that have decent facilities. So
yeah.
And then the national tournament comes up pretty soon after that. I believe I have my calendar, but like 17th of March, I believe.
Yeah.
I'd have to look. But so that'll be interesting. DACC got beat by a team out of Rockford earlier. I think it's maybe been 2 weeks ago. And they could come out of that top area of the Chicagoland area.
Uh-huh.
And then Lewis and Clark got beat, not Lewis and Clark, but Wren Lake got beat by John Wood, which was kind of a surprise to me a little bit. And then, of course, Parkland is, they're not the team they were a year ago. They're probably the third seed.
Sure.
It'll be interesting because one way or the other, with Dak being the number one seed, and that's not a given yet because I haven't seen that yet, but
yeah,
according to records and everything else, not being involved in the business, And then it's a toss-up between Wren Lake and Parkland.
Absolutely. What else we got here? We got women's college hoops. The Lady Jags knocked off Lewis and Clark 72-58. Today they are also at Spoon River along with the men. And then this week the women will be at Lakeland for college basketball.
Softball, we got college softball, and we'll get baseball. Danbury Community College at Lakeland and Denver Community College at Heartland. That's over in the Bloomington area. I think there's a couple of area athletes that play baseball at Heartland.
Yeah.
We'll get to that later. College softball, Denver area at Glen Oaks, at Myrtle Beach, Denver Community College at Shawnee. Now, Chad, generally, baseball team is at Myrtle Beach. This is not...
Yeah, so baseball is this past week at Myrtle Beach. Softball is this upcoming week at Myrtle Beach.
Okay. All right.
So, yeah, the men's team just finished up a 6-1 week. They lost to the team that we made fun of last week, Coach. They lost to Florence Darlington Tech 18-2. I guess that was some bad juju.
we get down to... men's college golf, of course, Terry French does a great job there. They're at Ron Marshall Spring Fling in Scottsboro, Alabama.
And they'll be doing that Monday and Tuesday this upcoming week. And, of course, as we mentioned, both the men's and women's diamond teams for Dak getting a pretty good start to their season here. We'll see how they can do. We will take a break. When we come back, we'll dive into all the other items and get wrapped up on your Saturday Sports Connection. 980 AM, 99.5 FM, WITY, WITYradio.com, WITY Radio app, presented by Surf Pro Vermilion County.
When disaster takes control of your life, ServPro helps you take it back. ServPro Team McGuire shows up faster to any size disaster to make things right, starting with a single call. That's all, because the number one name in cleanup and restoration has the scale and the expertise to get you back up to speed quicker than you ever thought possible. So whenever never thought this would happen actually happens, ServPro's got you. Call 217-443-0077 or follow us on Facebook at ServPro of Vermilion County to help make it like it never even happened.
UHAS Diagnostics is your new Napa Heavy Duty Truck Care Center, offering DOT inspections as well as diagnostics, tires, and oil changes, both in-shop and on-site. UHAS is a family-owned and operated shop that understands that life doesn't stop for vehicle issues. Ask about their shuttle service to and from the shop while they work on your vehicle. Call on the direct line at 217-213-6032 or visit UHASDiagnostics.com for full list of services or to make an appointment. Open Monday through Friday 7 to 7 and Saturday 7 to 12. UHAS Diagnostics, east of I-74, exit 210 between Danville and Oakwood.
If you know cats, you know we like only the best, and you can dig up the best supplies for your garden at Leto's Hardware in Westville, like potato and onion sets, package and bulk seed, plus all the tools you need. Check out their seeding squares, the perfect tool for companion planting. Might I suggest planting some extra catnip this year? Remember to follow me, Fifi the Cat on Leto's Hardware's Facebook for the best deals each week. Leto's Hardware, where we do it best.
Welcome back to Saturday Sports Connection, 980 AM, 99.5 FM, WITY, online at WITYradio.com and the WITY app presented by Surf Pro of Vermilion County.
I keep looking at that Sox hat, and I just... Did you paint with that thing on? Or
no,
what?
It was during the area where the whole bleach thing was big. Oh. And I continue to wear it. So, Danville High School holding baseball tryouts this upcoming week, Monday, March 2nd through Wednesday, March 4th. Danville High School Fieldhouse, 5:30 to 7:30. If you want more information, get a hold of Coach Matt Scoverin, 217-444-1854. Congrats to Charles Medlin, the Centennial swim sectional. Well, it was at the IHSA swim sectional at Centennial last week. He is a state qualifier. He got first place in 100-yard freestyle, 45.31 seconds. It's a pool record. It's a meet record. It's a state qualifier. And he also is advancing the state after finishing first in the 50-yard freestyle, 20.84 seconds. So all the best to Charles on that. Very, very good honor there. And we'd be remiss if we didn't revisit our story from last weekend where Nathaniel Marlowe, Weber Township, down southeast of Mount Vernon, climbing up on that all-time IHSA points list. He would end his season. His team lost to Altamont last night. He ends his career 3,272 points. He falls about 86 points short of Chico Vaughn for the all-time record and places second all-time in IHSA history.
My question, I'd like to find out who is recruiting. Is he about 6'1", 6'2"?
That I don't know. I don't know. Do we have something on that?
That'd be interesting to see. You know, we get into this trivia question stuff of all-time league scores. Of course, you know, out of Jacksonville, Andy Kaufman's right up there
it
with him.
It says that he is 6'2" and 180 pounds. He's a point guard, shooting guard. So
that's pretty good.
Little size for a high schooler, but of course could bulk up a little bit. 180 is not huge.
No.
So... frame height like that, you probably want to be what, about 220, 225?
He's about right for a shooting guard. That's about right. And well, look at Peoples. Peoples is probably close to that, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll get bigger and stronger. I mean, last night I watched the Illinois massacre by Michigan. it was great. I'm going to say this. I really appreciate it because I got great tickets. Took my wife Nancy to the game. First time she's been to a Big Ten game like that. She always watches. It's not just basketball. It's entertainment. You know, the noise, sound. The same way when I went to watch the Purdue-Michigan game. It's unbelievable. And they've all taken that part from the NBA. And actually, I'd rather go see a college game than an NBA game because the students, their interaction with the students are unbelievable.
Absolutely. One thing that we do want to point out before we get wrapped up here, Unity versus Fairfield Wednesday night in the Monticello sectional. The winner will face Tautopolis, Warrensburg Latham winner. Could see Unity and Tautopolis for the third time this year. Unity's two losses prior were both to Tautopolis, one in regular season, another in tournament play. Coach, let's do this again next week. You going to wear a different hat?
I will wear a different hat and a different shirt.
And I will wear a different shirt.
Okay.
And I'll try to remember to wear a different
hat.
Here's
what we're
going to
do, fans. So you can follow us. It'll be on Facebook.
Very good. Saturday Sports Connection. Thanks for joining us.